We're back to faith again. Hallelujah. And we are back to the principle of faith. The principle of faith is the principle of man. I don't know, those at the back, I hope you can see. The principle of man is soul, spirit. It's called the and then the body. Which is known as the outer man or the outward man. Amen. The first part is sin. The outward man is sin physically, but the inward man is not sin. And now we understand that this inward man is in the blood. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Because the Leviticus 17 tells us that the nefesh of the flesh is where? In the blood. Hallelujah. So, blood is not just the outward blood. There is the inner blood. This one is new. Amen. You better capture it. Amen. So, there's now outer blood and inner blood. Hallelujah. The outward physical blood, you see, is biology. Amen. The inner one, the spiritual or higher dimension, is spiritual. Hallelujah. Now, the spiritual essence of blood ministers to the inward man, but also ministers to the outward man. Amen. When the blood in a body is completely taken out, 5 liters of blood, the physical blood comes, the physical body comes to an end. Amen. Has no life. Cannot continue. Cannot continue to support the soul and spirit. So, the soul and spirit have to depart. Amen. So, we are talking about faith. And in the morning, we saw that faith is not just addressing the natural outward life, but it is mainly talking about the life of the inward man. Amen. So, the Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance, hypostasis, foundation of things not seen, or things hoped for. What you hope you haven't seen, you don't have. You expect to have it. So physically you don't. And you say it is the evidence. The Greek word there says it's a proof. It's a proof you have. It's evidence. Or if you want, a down payment of things not seen. So let me go quickly to the sin, so that I don't waste too much on definition, so we can get into the message. Now, the things not seen. If you will look at, again, if you have your Android Bible, as I'm talking, you can check it out. If you have your Android phone, you have the Android My Sword. If you look at it, open it up, you'll see. The word there is blepo. B sin is B L B-L-E-P-O. Those who are in medicine, they will tell you blepharitis. That means infection of the eyes. Blepo. Everybody knows it's speaking of the bodily eye. So if you check the interlinear, it will tell you, Young will tell you, bodily eye. And immediately I see bodily eye, I know there is soul eye. Say amen, brother. Amen. Amen. If there's eye in the body, true, there must be eye of the inward man. Because the outward man will not have anything the inward man doesn't have. Do you know why? The things which are physical take their nature from the things that are spiritual. Amen. Say amen now. That is the law of the spirit. Example, the Bible says in Daniel that the heavens rule over the earth. Any man who wants to be president of Nigeria must visit the heaven somewhere. Don't let them play with you. You must go somewhere. They must take you and enter somewhere and go and talk to the heavens over Nigeria. Isn't that so, brother? You must make covenant. Amen. They must make you president first before you become president naturally. Amen. The things are first established in the spirit, then they will manifest. The Bible says, God that created the eyes, does he not see? Amen. The Lord that created the ears, doesn't he hear? Because we are created in his nature. So, the things in the spirit are the things you find manifesting. So, this one, blepo, is speaking about the bodily eye. Now, the same Young translation says, to see in the spirit means to perceive by the senses of the soul. Just like you see naturally by the senses of the body. Amen. So the natural body functions by seeing, by hearing. Isn't it not so? In the spirit also, your inward man lives and functions by what he sees, what it hears, what it can hold, perceive, or be joined onto, and what it can take in, and what it can perceive. So those five senses in the body, first of all, we are in the soul. Amen. But the Bible says, when darkness entered into the realm of the inward man, God allowed it. What happens? The Bible says that the man became blinded. Say that the God of this world had done what? Blinded the minds of those who do not believe. So when someone comes to the world, his inward senses are shut down, closed. He doesn't know God. He doesn't, he cannot see. So the only thing he knows is outward. So when you begin to talk about faith, God, can't relate to it. Until blood touches the mind. And the Bible says the person sees the kingdom of God, is born again. And then that's when his life starts. Hallelujah. Amen. So faith is speaking about the inward man. What you perceive, what you hear, what you receive in the spirit. Amen. I'll give you this example. I was speaking to a brother in Prague, in the Czech Republic. The doctor had an issue. God opened his eyes. He saw himself in the hospital. He saw the doctor. He saw everything. And when the next morning to go see the doctor, through to type, what was happening? The man was wearing the same dress, did the same thing, and so on. Some here in this room have had that experience. So there is a life beyond the natural. That's the point I'm trying to make. And the first evidence that your soul is resurrecting is when you begin to separate the natural from the spiritual. Amen. The first evidence that you are rising from the dead. And when you progress along that line, you will begin to identify the activities of your soul different from activities of Christ in you. I don't know if I'm communicating. Because when you receive Christ, you receive a seed. You receive a reality, a life, another entity within your soul realms. Hallelujah. So Christ comes into you. But you see, when your soul is in a very low place, mixed up with the flesh, mixed up, unresponsive, unsensitive, it's difficult to know what is what. Hallelujah. Example, Samuel was in the house of God. God spoke to him. He went to Eli. But that was not the story of Samuel continually. God spoke again. He went to Eli. God is patient with us. Hallelujah. God knows that your soul is going from darkness to light. So if you made one mistake, God is not going to kill you. That will be very harsh, isn't it? Amen. God is slow to rot. Slow to rot with us. Hallelujah. It's not that you'll continue in sin, but he's slow to rot. Hallelujah. Amen. So he spoke again. I went back. He said, next time he speaks, what happens? Say, your servant. Now, when you hear 1, 2, 3, the same voice, 1, 2, 3, you have recognized the voice, isn't it? The next time, he has heard Aaron's voice 2 times or 3 times also, isn't it? So by the next one, he said, no, that's that voice I had that day. He captured it. He said, Lord, speak. And God began to speak to him. Amen. So, the soul comes into the world as the Proverbs describes a simple man. Simple, void of experience. Hasn't seen God much. Hasn't heard much God. Hasn't perceived of the life of God. Remember, in the spirit, there are 2 types of life. In the spirit, there are 2 types of life. You have light and darkness. There are 2 types of life. There are 2 types of principle in the spirit. Now, there are people who have chosen that we will belong to the darkness. Amen. Darkness is energy. And don't anybody in this room say power in darkness. The Bible says this is out of darkness and the power thereof. Is in your Bible? Say amen now. Darkness has power. If you go to your village, you will see the power of darkness. Hallelujah. But light also has more power. Example, the Bible says, in him was what? Light. And that light was what? The life of men. And then that light was shineth in darkness. And the darkness does not. So, in the realm of the spirit, there are 2 principles, light and darkness. And they are all working also in the realm of the soul, and of course, can manifest naturally. And what we are trying to show, you know, or look at, is the fact that this light has more power than darkness. 1, 2, how can we every day in our everyday life plug, you know, it's like you get your phone, you plug it to the current. Light is a current. You plug to it so that that light, that energy can quicken your soul. Amen. That's all we are trying to look at. So the first scripture we are going to read is Matthew 27. 57, 51 to... We're looking at the power of the grave. We're looking at the grave. It says, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Amen. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Hallelujah. They went to the grave of Joseph of Arimathea. He had just bought the grave, the tomb, sorry. And they sealed it with a great stone. An angel visited the grave. And that physical stone was rolled away. Amen. Now, in our life, we are familiar with physical power. Amen. With no power. The power of the gun. The power of this. The power of this. But there is a power greater than physical power. Amen. Hallelujah. And there are things that release that spiritual power, that spiritual energy. The man has a gun. That's not the end of it. He that carries the gun will guide by the gun. Amen. There is a power beyond that. There is a spiritual authority beyond that. Hallelujah. Or beyond, you know, any of the, you know, situation, sickness, whatever it is. And here we see an example of what happened when Jesus, you know, was quickened from the grave. Now the question is, this experience, is it a history or is it a reality? Is it something that happened once and will never happen again? Or is it something that can happen every day? Is this something that you can trigger? That is, every day there is an earthquake. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me give you an example. There was a man called Jonah. For 3 days, was deep in the belly. Where? Of the fish. And Jesus said it is a sign of resurrection. Don't you understand? It's a sign of resurrection. So let's take it this way. When you receive the seed of Christ, it is buried deep down in your soul. Amen. That is Jonah. Do you understand it? That is Jonah. Christ is deep down. And your dead soul, dead man, flesh, natural mind, or whatever it is covering it. Hallelujah. That nature of Christ has to germinate, has to comfort, and has to come to a point where it overshadows the old nature of sin. Amen. Amen. That is called resurrection. How would that be? By what process would the Christ in me rise up? Now, the challenge I have is that I mistake the old nature of sin with the the Christ in me. Hallelujah. The Christ in me has a life, has a nature, has a law, has a working. Hallelujah. And Paul said, every day I die. Who is dying? He's physically with us. So there is something that is dying, and there is something that is gaining the upper hand. Hallelujah. I'll give you an example. There was a man called David, another one called Saul. God went into the bush and anointed somebody and said, you are king. But in Jerusalem, or was it Jerusalem? Where was it? Saul was still king. So at one time, there were two kings. The king in the bush, king hidden, and then a king running around Israel. Amen. Who was the true king? Amen. Christ has been anointed in your soul. Amen. But there is an old man still manifesting. Hallelujah. Walking around, shaking around. And when they push you too much, it will come out. The beast will arise and say, amen. And you are discouraged because you see a lion nature, a beastly nature rise. You see a serpent nature, crawling. You know, a creature that gets its energy from the carnal activity. Amen. And you know, the devil has built an industry on that belly. Amen. Lust, anger, passion. A lot of energy. Amen. And you know, when they push me too much, I just open that tab and get a little energy. Hallelujah. But the Christ in me is still there. I say, my friend, I have something better for you. Say, leave that one. I mean, this one I see, and this one I know. I'm more comfortable with this one. I've been getting energy from this flesh, from this way. You talked about it. There's a route, a pathway in which the soul follows. Amen. Hallelujah. Does that mean that the Christ in me has no future, has no history? Amen. Amen. James chapter 5 says that the husbandman has what? An expectation of the precious fruit of the earth. And he has what? Long patience for it. 6,000 years. He's been waiting. Hallelujah. But you see, God has confidence. God has hope. In fact, he brought John and he showed him the end. Hallelujah. He said there's going to be a man. He showed him the picture of the soul. This same soul. Amen. One is a soul that is ruled by the dead soul, by the dead nature, old carnal nature. You took him to another soul. He saw four living creatures. In the midst, we are 24 elders. 24 is the number of priesthood. You go back to 2 Chronicles from 20. Just go down. Amen. You will see it. No, I think it's the later end of Chronicles, and then you enter this, you see it. It talked about the 24 courses of priesthood. It divided the singers 24. Everybody ministers by course. By the way, ministry is by cause. If you are anointed in this room, find your cause. And in the spirit, it is divided. Who was it? Who's that man? Husband of Elizabeth. What's his name? Zechariah. His own lot was to minister at the incense. There are lots. It is shared in the spirit. He says, so and so, this is where you will be. So and so, this is your own ministry. Amen. Find your lot and stay there. Anyway, that's just by the side. Amen. So, ministries are by lots, courses. Not one lot has everything. Everybody carries a burden. Hallelujah. Anyway, so 24 is the number of ministry. So, when he said there were 24 elders, what he's using prophetic Bible language to tell you that there is God has looked at your soul and he's telling you that there is a place in God where you get to, where your soul matures in the ability to offer itself to God. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a place where you don't have that ability, that capacity. You are still struggling. So wherever you are today, you must believe God that tomorrow is better than today. And it's called faith. It is what? The hypostasis of things hoped for. Hallelujah. God is hoping for it, looking at it, and telling you your soul will be four living creatures in the midst of the throne, 24 elders. And they took their crowns and they cast it before God. And they say, holy, holy. That's the ministry of your soul. Hallelujah. And not just, I said, they were full of eyes. In, at the back, on the, everywhere. Do you know that the mind is a creature of sin? Hallelujah. The mind sees, walks by sin. Amen. The picture, if you love cars and you see that red car, oh my God, you must buy that red car. Amen. If your soul sees it and say, I want it, it's over. You must buy it. The next money you get, you are going to Jumia to buy the car. Hallelujah. Amen. Whatever the soul sees, it worships. That's the law. Hallelujah. The soul is the biggest worshiper in the whole creation of God. Any image on it, it must submit to. Therefore, the Bible says, you must make a law. Who was it? It's not Job that said, I made a covenant with my eyes. I will not just look at any and anything. Amen. That's why the devil has invested so much in images. Television. This vision. Amen. It's no longer verified. It's now on your phone. Amen. Hallelujah. Because what the soul sees, it becomes. That is the process of change. And that is the process of faith. Hallelujah. Through this conference, anything you see is yours. Say amen. Huh? Any picture God shows in the spirit is yours. If you see it, it's yours. If you haven't seen it, you are still searching for it. But if you see it, say, God, that is mine. That's why they tell you, those who are in the industry of coaching and mentorship, they will tell you, visualize it. Visualize that you are the chief executive of a global company. Is Brocker in this room? Brother, say praise the Lord. He's a chief entrepreneur. Amen. God, you have to thank God for him. Hallelujah. He's a wonderful brother. Amen. A blessing to us. But he knows what I'm talking about. You must visualize that you are the best student. Hallelujah. After that, what do you do next? You start walking towards it. They call it strategic plan. Any organization must plan where you want to be in 20 years' time. Hallelujah. They're only copying from the Bible. Hallelujah. So you as a believer, what is your strategic plan for 2019? Have you planned it? Is anybody here who has a strategic plan for 2019? I have. My own personal plan. My own spiritual plan. Hallelujah. Say amen now. So you are just eating our garri and food for free. As the message is going on, you must have a strategy plan. Amen. Amen. This period come 2019, this is what I am going to do. Amen. You don't just eat granite and just walk around. You must have a plan of changing your soul. You must have a plan to change your lifestyle. Hallelujah. I sat at the back of that hall 3 or 4 years ago during the camp meeting, during the youth camp meeting. And I said, I must change my lifestyle. While the message was going on, I opened my Bible and I began to count number of books. I counted all of them. Message was going on. I was at the back. I was counting it. And I saw 66 books. I counted the number of chapters. I made some decisions. I said, I must read the New Testament 3 times in a year. It was the strategy plan. Hallelujah. Today is a reality. Hallelujah. When I started, I was struggling. But today, I'm not struggling. You don't just wake up and just walk in like that. You must plan. Hallelujah. You must have a vision. You must have a purpose. And when you plan it, everything must speak to it. Hallelujah. Everything must speak to it. I give you another example. The same place, I don't know where that word was. I said, Jesus woke up early to pray. And I'm a Christian. And I love early morning sleep, brother. The best sleep. Early morning sleep. But I knew that I had to make a choice. So I put my alarm at 4 o'clock. Amen. I think maybe it was one of the days Brother Isaac preached. You know? I said, no, this thing is getting too much. I almost settle it. So I put my alarm, first phone at 4, second phone at 4:30. And then I made it to ring through the 30 minutes. So whether I like it or not, I must put it off. And I made it sound very loud so to disturb my wife, so I would put it off. So at least for 30 minutes, I'm putting off the phone. By the time the next one is at 30, at least that time the sleep has gone far. Then I can now wake up and do what? Pray. Amen. Sometimes I don't hear it. In fact, most of the time I didn't hear the phone. It will ring, 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 and go to bed. I died. But after some time, I started hearing it. Amen. And with time, it's becoming part of nature. Hallelujah. It's called strategy plan. It's vision, what you see, purpose. So the inward man must see something. In this conference, what have you seen? And what are you hoping to achieve? Hallelujah. That is called faith, a provision that you make. And we are looking at the scripture. Here he's telling us that there was a time in which the graves opened. And bodies came out of the grave and walked around. There was pandemonium, confusion in Jerusalem. They started seeing people they hadn't seen before. Brother, can you imagine it? Departed brethren were walking around Jerusalem. Trouble there. Well, God have mercy. So yeah, you guys come back. One by one, they started going to hear them. Amen. What is grave? Grave is, physical grave is 6 feet. By six. Is it what it is? 6 feet. By six. By six. Spiritual grave is this body. Hallelujah. Anything in the natural is in the spirit. Spiritual grave is the old nature. Hallelujah. Weighing down the new man. Hallelujah. A new nature of Christ within your soul. Hallelujah. But you know what? Jonah began to cry. Oh my God. Are you crying? Is there a cry in your soul? Do you wake up in the morning and put your head on your head? Amen. Amen. Lazarus came out. It was a story. Jesus Christ, what? The same. When? Yesterday. Today. And when? Forever. That means the things he did then, he is doing them today. That means this conference is a resurrection conference. My mind is resurrecting. My emotions, my desire, the Christ should be coming forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's not renovating it. He's crucifying it. Hallelujah. Let's see that scripture in Galatians 5. Okay, Galatians 5. 5:24. When the devil came and told me it is over for you, I said, then this scripture came out. I said, yeah, oh yeah, I give you this scripture. Let us see now. I just say you're powerful. Oh yeah, talk about this one. Amen. Oh yeah. So when the devil tells you can't make it, just open your Bible to this one. He said, let's read together. Amen. What is there? And they that are Christ have done what? The brother defined flesh. Flesh is the old nature of the soul. Hallelujah. He puts away the first that he may establish the second. Hallelujah. The dispensation of the old first is over. Say, flesh, your time is over. Your time is up. Hallelujah. There is a new nature. Paul called it the new man. Do you know that grammar there? Christ. Christ is different from Christ, though. Amen. That seed of Christ in you has a mind of, it's a possessive spirit. Have you known somebody who's possessive? That is, if I'm your friend, no other person is your friend. Have you met anybody like that? How many of them? Say, you choose. If I'm your friend, no other person is your friend. You cannot talk to my enemy. Anybody I don't like his face. So you decide. It's either you are my friend or you are not. But if you are going to be my friend, everybody I don't like, you must also hate them. You know such people. Amen. I know many of them. Amen. That possession. Hallelujah. This is a very good possessive spirit. Christ must be all in all. Hallelujah. So I have confidence in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Every day it is growing. Every day it's marching forward. Hallelujah. So the Bible says that there are three feasts appointed unto man. What do you understand that is saying? He said, when Christ comes into your soul, it has three seasons of making you his Christ. Hallelujah. There are three seasons in which God works in the soul to possess the soul. The first one is called Passover. It comes. Little Christ. Amen. The old man is still in charge. Hallelujah. Not too much influence. That Christ doesn't have too much influence. Christ in you. Hallelujah. Christ is in your mind, but your natural mind is still working. Amen. Once, when you are in too much trouble, you say, yeah, there is a Christ in me. You now go. You say, please, what are we going to do? They give you. Then, as soon as you overcome, you forget. Amen. But God has long patience for us. Hallelujah. But you not continue to wait forever. Amen. The Bible says the next one is what? Pentecost. Hallelujah. Pentecost is a time of first fruits. Hallelujah. It's the time when, for the first time, the reality of Christ in you begins to make more sense to you. Hallelujah. You begin to see first fruits. Hallelujah. You begin to see, in fact, if you look at the tabernacle, you have the lampstand. You see, the lampstand is one piece of gold, but it has six branches. Hallelujah. And you have oil. The oil had something in the middle of it. Was it? Has a wick. That wick there is your soul. Hallelujah. The soul in the midst of the oil. Hallelujah. And then it begins to burn. Hallelujah. But that's not the end. But see, for the first time, the fruit of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, begins to manifest. Hallelujah. By the way, the difference between the Pentecostal church and the church of the firstborn, as the brother said, is that the Pentecostal church does not pay attention to character. Amen. And, you know, that story of the woman that has, he says, touch the hem of the garment. Hem of the garment is a piece of covering and character, in a sense. Hallelujah. When you begin to identify the nature of Christ, when you say in the name of Jesus, you mean in the nature of Jesus. Hallelujah. And that name cannot work for you when your nature is different from its nature. Hallelujah. So the more you are touching the hem, that means you are becoming like the hem, the character of Christ, the more the oil will be flowing in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. As you purify yourself, you are touching more of that hem. Hallelujah. You are becoming more like Christ. And then there will be a flow. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are speaking about the reality of grave. We can go on and on and on, but we have to leave it and move on. But it's a principle. And you must believe it. Do you believe it? Do you believe it, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead? Which resurrection are you talking about in Jerusalem? Resurrection of the Christ in you. Amen. It says, I show you a mystery. You know what the mystery is? That the trumpet shall sound. You're hearing the trumpet. And what will happen? And the dead, where? In Christ, shall do what? Rise first. Hallelujah. Amen. There shall be a rising of the dead. That your dead mind, your mind without God, void, nothing about God. The Bible says that the wicked man has, there is no thought of God in his heart. Do you know what I'm saying? You wake up in the morning till 11 o'clock in the night, your mind has not gone towards anything about Christ. I am one of them. Amen. 7 o'clock, you enter your car, you are going to work. The only time you remember that you are a Christian is one. When you get down and you're about to sleep, say, yay, I have not prayed today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a mind at that level. But there's another man. He says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, who does not stand, who does not sit. But his what? Delight is in the law of the Lord. And then in that law, does he do what? He meditates what? Day and night. That is a resurrection. Hallelujah. It's not by eating granite. You work at it. But see, when you are walking, you must believe God. Hallelujah. That I am here today. This is where I want to be. I must get there. Hallelujah. Bible says the kingdom of God suffereth by a man of violence. Do what? Take it by force. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's read the second scripture. John chapter 5. I've mentioned it, but let's just take it quickly. We're trying to demystify death and the grave. We're looking at the principles of exercising the power of Christ. Say, for as the Father raised up the dead and quickened them, even so the Son quickened whom he will. For the Father judged no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Verse 24. Verily, verily, Somebody said, when you hear verily, verily, wake up from sleep. Because he's trying to emphasize something. Hallelujah. So, brethren, verily, verily. Somebody says, truly, truly. For emphasis, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming. And in 2018, December, and now is. When the dead, both physical and spiritual, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Amen. If the man is dead, he's alive. Don't you see he's speaking about the spiritual dead? Amen. Hallelujah. 26. So as the Father had life in himself, so had he given to the Son to have life in himself. Hallelujah. Verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall comfort, and they that have done good unto resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto resurrection of damnation. Amen. You find another one in Daniel 12:3, but I'm not going to read it. It's still speaking about the same. He said, the time is coming when all that are dead shall be raised up. Amen. Now, let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2 takes us back to Calvary. Verse 13. Colossians chapter 2, 13. And you. So you see, Paul is now applying it spiritually. And you, dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, had he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Amen. Now, what we're looking at, the hypostasis. We're looking at the substructure, the foundation of our faith. Amen. Say amen now. We're looking at the foundation. Hallelujah. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made the show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Amen. Now, this scripture is trying to give us the spiritual implication of the cross. That at the cross, the sins, the handwriting against us, were taken away. Do you know that there is a handwriting against some families, some tribes? Amen. Say amen now. Their handwritings written in the spirit. The people from so and so and so will not do so and so. It's a law in the spirit. Amen. The first daughters will not marry. If they go, they will come back. They will come back empty handed, written in the spirit. Hallelujah. Now, when you see something like that, you must have a hypostasis, you must have a foundation. You must have a basis. You must have an evidence. I'll give you an example. A brother called Jehoshaphat was a godly man. The Midianites came after him. The Bible says all the children of the east came against him. And they wrote a letter. He said, look, my friend, What did they say? Say, count everything in your house and give us. You know what he did? He took the letter, he went to God. Say, Lord, let us read together. Amen. Let's read this letter together. You see, Hezekiah, God bless you, Hezekiah. In fact, the man says, your best wife is not my wife. Your best shoe is my shoe. Anything that is choices, please carefully bring it. Put it in the hands of the man. Let it bring to me. Hey. Amen. The devil has given you notice. At the age of 57, you will die. Your father died. Your grandfather died. Your great-grandfather died. Look at them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. At 57, they all died. And then you are now 55, 56. Your body is shaking. Handwriting. Amen. Some of us, there are handwritings deep in our soul. We are tied. There are limitations. Like we saw the one of Moses. He had limitation of anger. Amen. It's a handwriting. Hallelujah. But you have an evidence against that handwriting. You have a proof against that handwriting. You have a sentence against that handwriting. What is it? The cross. Hallelujah. The Bible says that handwriting has been removed. That nature of anger or lust or bitterness or whatever it is, there is a sentence of God against it. Amen. And you know it's a stronghold. Because just after you finish praying, it comes out. It's telling you that this prayer, that your prayer don't go anywhere. I see they there. Amen. Then you know you have war on your hands. Hallelujah. So when you have war on your hands, you have to search the books. You have to make preparation. Amen. You have to look, what do I have for me? Bible says the man that is going to build a house must first do what? Count the cost. When you count the cost, you say, go, let me, what's the evidence I have that I can win this war? Anybody who goes to say, look, my friend, bring your advisor, can we win this war? You say, yes, what is the evidence? What do we have? Hallelujah. This is evidence. That when Jesus died, as they were knocking that thing, Bible says the handwritings were being nailed to the cross. Amen. And when he shed the blood, the handwriting was erased. Was erased. It has been erased. It has been erased. Say amen. It has been erased. Amen. Hallelujah. It has been erased. The devil is saying, look at your body. I say, look at the Bible. He said, look at what you did yesterday. Look at Christ. Amen. Evidence against evidence. Look at Christ. Yesterday you told lies. Look at Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. It's called faith. Faith. Hypostasis. You have a foundation. And that foundation is not seen naturally, but you have seen it spiritually. You can feel it in your soul. Hallelujah. The more your soul resurrects, the more you can feel the activity of that raising man. Hallelujah. You can feel the Christ moving. It's like, you see someone who's pregnant. The first 2-3 weeks, nothing that happened. No? 8 weeks, nothing that happened. 13, 14, nothing that happened. But after some time, you begin to hear some movement. Somebody is kicking inside. They call it quickening. Is that true? It's called quickening. Who is quickening? The inward man. That man there is quickening. It's Pentecost. Hallelujah. When the Christ in you starts quickening, he's giving you a sign. Hallelujah. Say there is another life here. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what we have been seeing in the church, quickening. Don't run away. It has not finished yet. Hallelujah. It will soon come to an end. Hallelujah. One day, that quickening man will land Bagada. Will best fund, and it's called the man child. Hallelujah. Brethren, we must be patient. We must be strong. Hallelujah. We must have faith. Faith in the finished work of Christ. Somebody say, Christ has done it all. I don't have any work. We have work to do. Amen. Say, work out your faith, what? Where your salvation with what? Christ has done it. You must work it out. Hallelujah. The working it out is that you must put the flesh. Paul said, put off the old man. And do what? Put on. That's work. This time, is that not work? When you put off and you put on, you say work of faith. Amen. We are in this room to put off. We are putting off. And we are doing what? Putting on. Hallelujah. Every time we gather, we want to put on. And we want to put off. It's called faith. Faith that works by love. Hallelujah. The evidence of faith. Hallelujah. So Colossians chapter 2 is a very important evidence. Hallelujah. And it's giving you giving us the breakdown of what happened on the cross. That's why the devil said there was nothing like the cross. Disprove it. But the evidence is overwhelming. Hallelujah. Evidence. There's a book called written by Josh McDowell. Look for it. It's on the internet everywhere. He has given his life to proving that there was a cross. Hallelujah. He's written so many books, so try and get it if you are in doubt. Amen. Evidence that the man surveyed it. And I tell them, there was a man called Julius Caesar. Is that true, brother? True. Have you seen him? There's a man called Julius Caesar. Have you seen him? You saw Alexander the Great? You saw him? But you believe that he was there. You believe that he was there. Do you know Jesus was born after they had been born and dead? And you say he was not there. Amen. The history of Jesus is much more recent than all these other words. Amen. There's a man called Hannibal. Do you know him? Hannibal. He was riding an elephant. You believe it, but you don't believe that there was a man called Jesus. Hallelujah. There's a man called Pharaoh. Is he not? Is he Pharaoh? But you don't believe in Jesus. I need no argument. I have no more argument. It's settled. Amen. It's proved. Historically, archaeologically, in all the archaeology, everything is there. Proved. Amen. And you know what? Jesus is still appearing to people every day. Go to the Islamic world. It is. Brother will tell you about it. Amen. Go to the internet and click Islamic conversions to Christ. You will see something. It will build your faith. Amen. It's appearing by day. It is everywhere. It is a mass repentance. They are seeing and hearing every day. Hallelujah. He's not dead. He's alive. Amen. So the power of the cross is living. Hallelujah. And it is something that is working for you. And the importance of it is that see his point, principalities and powers, handwriting and evidence, whatever it is, wiped out. Hallelujah. Now, because it's wiped out, you can take it as an evidence and say, it is my right. I have come to demand my right. Hallelujah. Amen. And when the devil proves that you are serious, he will run away. He said, resist the devil. What will he do? He will flee. But that process of resisting may take a few years. Is he testing you? Is he relationship? Amen. You go to somebody who will live in your father's house, you say, leave. It's okay, come tomorrow, I'll go. Is that what he said? Moses went to Pharaoh, says, our God said we should go. He said, who is that God? By the time you go to Exodus chapter 13, Moses knew who the God was. Amen. God broke the back of Egypt. He said, I beg, go. Pray for me. Amen. When you go to that wilderness, pray for me. Hallelujah. But initially, say, who is that God? Yeah. In fact, give him more work. For even thinking of mentioning, hallelujah. So sometimes when you pray, the problem gets worse. Is somebody listening? You pray. You even mention camp meeting. Trouble starts. Hallelujah. Amen. What are you going to do? Ask again. Hallelujah. Ask again. And after some time, the devil was okay. Now come, let's negotiate. You will go, but the women will stay. Amen. Say, not one hoof. Hallelujah. So God is working for us. And you must have faith that this word works. Hallelujah. Where I was last year is not where I am today. So I know the word works. Amen. Check yourself. Hallelujah. You know it is true. This word works. Praise God. Okay, I think we can move on to the second one. Okay, sorry, one more important scripture. 2 Corinthians 4. We're doing it because of there are some new people in the midst. We must take everybody along, not one hoof. Amen. So for God, okay, let's read verse 4 and then 6. In whom the God of this one have blinded the minds of them we believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's read verse 16, verse 18. So why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen? For the things which are seen are temporal, but those which are not seen are eternal. Now, the second basis of our faith. The first one I've dealt with is the cross. The death of Christ on the cross. The victory of Christ on the cross. That is your number one evidence. Hallelujah. So when you are coming against the devil, you must hold it as a basis for your spiritual warfare. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5 from verse 7 gives us another foundation. There are three foundations given there. He said, there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in the earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. What is he saying? Now, there are three vessels. I don't know, I have a problem with using the word. I don't know when I say vessel or when I say basis. The three things that bring the life of Christ to the Christ in your soul. Amen. There are three supply chains through which the life of Christ comes into the Christ in your soul, so that that Christ in your soul will grow. Amen. We have seen the basis for that Christ, that is the cross. It's because of the Christ that it came in. Amen. But the Christ in you must grow. The baby in you must grow. You know, they teach us the physiology, if you permit me. When the baby is in the womb, woman better eat, though. Because that baby has only one language. Everything you have, it will take. Amen. Everything you have is moving in. So you better replenish. If not, you are going to try. But the baby, after some time, anyway, to start affecting the baby. Amen. So the Christ in you must have energy, must have life, must eat, must be nourished to grow. Amen. So we should grow in grace, in the knowledge of our, you know, of the Christ in us. Hallelujah. So there are three things. Never forget. One, the Spirit. Two, the Word or the water. Three, the blood. Hallelujah. So there are three things. The Word, the Spirit, and the blood. Hallelujah. There are three things that bring the life of Christ to you. Amen. Now, this life is for the soul. This life is for your mind. Hallelujah. Say amen now. This life is for the inward man. Now, this outward man is food. Very soon, it will be time again. How about time for the inward man? When does he have time to eat? Hallelujah. Now, if my body has mouth, what is the mouth of my soul? Hallelujah. Well, the front door of the soul is what? Your mind. Hallelujah. It is a major part of the soul. It's the front door through which everything comes in. Just like your body, the only way in which something can go into you is through your mouth. Hallelujah. Of course, for spiritual effect, things also go through your mind, your eyes, and your ears. Those are the doorways also into the soul. Amen. Say amen. Do you know that there is a connection between your body and your soul? Is this in your Bible? There is a connection between your body and your soul. I won't get into that one today. But at the right time, we shall open it up. Amen. The devil knows that. The devil knows that. And they use it. And we, as spiritual people, must begin to see that connection between the body and the soul. Hallelujah. There are things that you do in your body that affects your soul very bad. One is fornication. Then every sin against the body is small. But this one, a fornication, is a sin against the body. Hallelujah. If you want to get into the soul, you go through that attraction. It's a physiology. Amen. It's not just a physiology. It is a flow of energy also. Hallelujah. It's even a covenant. Hallelujah. So those are spiritual principles that we must be aware of. You know, so the first, I think on Thursday, is it Thursday or Friday, we talked about the blood. You know, I won't go into much, or we can look at the other aspects, but we've spoken about the blood. The summary is that the life of the soul is in the blood. Hallelujah. So keep emphasizing it. Blood is not just liquid. It has spiritual energy. Amen. Somebody says, the soul of the flesh is in the blood. Amen. However you understand, the important thing is that blood has spiritual energy. Hallelujah. And the blood of Jesus had the energy of God. Hallelujah. And that energy is available to you every day for your soul to eat and drink. Amen. So the only thing I will do here is to open up that word, eat and drink. Let's open it up a bit and examine it. So I don't know if you can show us the interlinear of that John chapter 6. John chapter 6. What does it mean to eat? What does it mean to drink? Is it put blood in water in a cup and start drinking? Amen. When you bake bread, you pour something red, the fruit of the vine. Some people have a problem. Say, we must go to Jerusalem and get vine and plant in our backyard and let it grow. So when we want to break bread, we are taking the original fruit of the vine. Amen. Unless we have the original fruit of the vine, we have not broken bread. Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen now. And then the bread, the sisters must go to school and learn to, sister, can you break or bake your bread? Sister, can you break unleavened bread? Sisters must learn how to bake unleavened bread. Original unleavened bread and original fruit of the wine. Then we are qualified to break bread. Hallelujah. So we are now in a restaurant. But Ken, we're in a restaurant. We have now come to eat original bread and original. Is that what we're doing? We do it what? In remembrance. Hallelujah. So it is speaking spiritual language to you, that it is an opportunity for you to open your soul and receive the energy of Christ. Hallelujah. Into your soul. So when you do it spiritually, it's just a commemoration. Hallelujah. I say, and as often as you do it, amen, you do it in remembrance of my death. Why did he die? That my soul will be raised up. Hallelujah. So it is speaking about the cross. It's speaking about that energy of life. Hallelujah. So it's not so much so the wine and the bread. It is so much so the spiritual partaking. Amen. And you do it as often. Amen. There is a mystery. And I pray that God will open it up to us. Hallelujah. There's a power in it. Hallelujah. So, is it up there? The interlinear. Okay, it was there. John 6. From verse 50. I know it's 57, but let's read a little bit. John 6. Let's start from 53. John 6, 53. Amen. For then said Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man. Oh, it's not there. John 6:53. It said, you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Let's look at the word drink. The word drink is 1495. The Greek says pino. 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 P-I-N-O. Pino. What does it mean? It says to drink. That is the word Isaac preached. That's the word, nos. To receive into the soul. I'm reading Young's translation. You can, if you have your Bibles, check it, you'll follow on. To receive into your soul what serves to refresh, strengthen, nourish it unto life. Amen. Okay, this one says, the first is, of course, only as to imbibe or to drink. Amen. So when he says, unless you drink, he says, unless you are nourished by the life of Christ. Hallelujah. Say amen. Amen. So when we break bread, it's a symbol, it's a ceremony that we're doing to help us receive the life that's in that blood. Hallelujah. See, you have no life in you. Verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the 57, as the living father hath sent me, and I live by him, or by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. 58. This is that energy or bread which came down from heaven. Hallelujah. This is table of shewbread. Amen. I don't know if you get the revelation. This is the table of shewbread. Hallelujah. This is the dining table of your soul. Hallelujah. This is the dining table of the soul. It's the dining table of your soul. Somebody said we should draw the tabernacle. So I don't know, those at the back, if you can see us. Okay, and then this is a lampstand. Okay, the picture is up. Beautiful. Okay. Now, I don't know, I could stay here for 1 hour because I feel so burdened in my heart. Now, I'm not saying it because I have overcome. But brethren, I have seen it. Say amen now. Amen. I've seen it. This is one reason why we are not over. Let me not say we. I am not overcoming. Because I am not feeding on the bread, the energy that has been given to me. It's called hidden manna. We're not feeding on it. I know we are not because I am not. Amen. And I don't have a witness that we are feeding on it. I don't know how to say it. I feel like coming to everybody and speak to us one by one. We are not doing this. No amen. The amen is so weak. Hallelujah. Do you see what I'm talking about? The Christ in me is an energy source. Hallelujah. The Christ in you is life and strength. Hallelujah. We must learn to draw life from the Christ in me. What did Paul say? It's no longer I that live, but what? Christ lives in me. The life I now live, it is Christ that is living it. Hallelujah. Oh. Amen. How shall we do it? Amen. Brethren, it's different. It's different. It's different. It's different. May the Lord break this chain. It is different, brethren. There is a Christian life where you are struggling. And there is a place where the Christ in you is manifesting. There's a difference between manifestation and you doing it. Hallelujah. The Christ in you must manifest. Hallelujah. The energy you get to manifest is on this table of showbread. There are 12 loaves. Whatever they talked about in the morning. Hallelujah. There are 12 loaves that were there naturally. Amen. But now, Christ is that energy that is in you. Hallelujah. The Christ in you can be released, should be released, should be allowed to comfort. Hallelujah. Okay, let's look at this story. Moses was taken to a mountain, a physical mountain. Is it not? He was taken to a physical mountain and he was there for 40 days, 40 nights. But now, the Bible says that you have come to a mountain. What's that mountain? Zion. Hallelujah. And the same revelation that Moses received is the same revelation that you and I are receiving. Amen. There is strength in you. There is strength in Christ. We can draw from it. Hallelujah. We can overcome. So let me read this scripture, then I'll go on. Maybe we'll come back to it. But let's read 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a victory in Christ. And we can partake of that victory. Now, the second word, second thing that brings the life of Christ to us is the word. I'm looking at Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired. That's your desire. Amen. As you come into the world, your desire is quickened. You begin to like it. Amen. More to be desired are they than gold, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. He's talking about the emotions and the desire. Amen. When you come into the world, your emotions and your desire begin to change. Somebody is speaking about a lifestyle change. I want to change my lifestyle. You change it by the word. Hallelujah. As you begin to come to the world, your desires, the things you like begin to change. Hallelujah. It's called the conversion of the soul.
Amen.
Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Hallelujah. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret sin or secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. I think we'll begin to wind down. I still have two or three things, but the time is far gone. We'll see what will happen. We'll probably have another time. Amen. So let's not take too much at one time. But when the Bible says the word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, we've said the soul is like a child. It's simple. The soul needs to be child trained, just like you train a child. You say, train a child in the way it should go. When it goes up, it will not depart. That's how the soul must be trained. Amen. Must be instructed. Must be corrected. Must be taught. Say the word of God. Let's read that. I think 2 Timothy 3:16. Is it 1 or 2 Timothy? Where it says the word of all scripture is given. Okay, let's try 3. Okay, 2 Timothy 3. Yeah, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, until we all come unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, truly furnished unto all good works. Praise the Lord. So the word of God is given to train us, to correct us, give us doctrine, teach us the principles of life, how to raise children, how to do this. Every instruction is in the scriptures. You are an entrepreneur. You have an entrepreneurial book called Proverbs. Go and read it. Amen. You're a businessman. It is there. You are an accountant. It is inside there. Amen. You will see accounting principles. He wrote the books. He measured it. Hallelujah. Engineer, it is there. Amen. Whoever and whatever you are, the word of God, all scripture is perfect. Hallelujah. To teach us and instruct us and to guide us. Young people are looking for role models. Many of them are inside the Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. I want a young man that doesn't know what to do with his life. A young one, one of them is called Jeremiah. Young man like you. Hallelujah. Another one was called Ezekiel. Young man. You see another young man called Joseph. They are there. You want epic, is there. You want drama, is there. You want action, is there. You want adventure, is there. You want romance, is there. You want literature, is there. You want history, is there. You want chemistry, is there. You have what? Everything you want is what? In the scriptures. Hallelujah. You want poem, is there. Hallelujah. You want prose, is there. You want what again do you want? Hallelujah. All scripture is profitable. Hallelujah. Make it your favorite book. Hallelujah. What's that? Something of the Bible. My best friend, the best book to read is the Bible. The best book to read is the Bible. If you read it every day, it will. The best book to read is the Bible. The small children, have you heard this song before? The best friend to have is Jesus. Wake them up, let them sing it. You see, even the old ones have forgotten the song. Amen. Okay, let's read again. The best book to read is the Bible. The best book to read is the Bible. If you read it every day, it will show you. It will guide you. What? Best book to read is the Bible. Again. The best book to read is the Bible. The best book to read is the Bible. If you read it every day, it will guide you all the way. The best book to read is the Bible. The best friend to have is brother, come now. Come now. Just the best. Jesus. If you make it. Oh my God. All the way. The best friend to have is Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, amen. So what we're saying is there has to be a revival. We need to fall in love with Jesus afresh. We need to fall in love with the Word afresh. Amen. Our focus is the Word. No apology. I like Donald Trump because he doesn't have any apology. He has his problems. I'm not talking about his problems. But he is convinced in what he's doing. We Christians must be convinced. No apology. Our best book is the Bible. We'll pattern our life after it. We will read it, memorize it. Amen. Hallelujah. How many people know the book of Zephaniah? You know where it is? Amen. Where do you find it? In the library. Amen. This year coming is going to be a year of revival. Bible reading. We are busy, but we can read it. Hallelujah. There are many programs, 90 days, 30 days, 120 days, whatever it is. Try and start again. Amen. We will try and put online these programs so you can start again. An opportunity. Amen. There is a project that is going to start on the 1st of January. A project to read the Old Testament twice in a year. It's doable. Amen. You can join. Design it for yourself. If you break it into two, every day read one chapter each way. And in 6 months you have gone through. And by this time next year, you will see you'll be more familiar. Hallelujah. You have the scriptures in your phone. Play it. You can have it on your laptop. You have it as an attachment in your office or whatever it is. When you are sleeping, play it. It's another opportunity. Amen. The New Testament, 27 books. You can read through it. Either once in a month. Sorry, it's possible. Watchman Nee did it. You can read it once in 2 months, once in 3 months. However you can, do something. Amen. Let there be a revival. Brother Isaac taught us about the nuns. We are talking about the nuns that will nurse us onto the throne. Amen. You go and find out for yourself. Moses, not Moses, go and hear and come and tell us. We are saying you go and get your own revelation. Amen. Let God talk to you. You're also his son. Amen. All this grammar, these brothers are saying, you can even hear much more. Amen. My own testimony, I was listening to Payetin. We will come to meetings and Payetin will be talking. Brother Mecca, some of those brothers, Brother Man, all that. After some time, when I come to the meeting, it is what God has told me in my bedroom that he will be talking about. He said, yeah, it's like this thing is working well, though. He built confidence in me. Amen. That's what we're talking about. So you go and find out. This thing that's saying, God, tell me how you sold so and so and so. Check it. He said, the Berean tree said, they went and checked for themselves. Hallelujah. Go and check. Some of us are walking. You have to wash. You have to do this. Make our time. Go to God. Say, God, give me time. How can I create time in my busy schedule? He will tell you. Daniel was a president. Yet, 3 times in the year, he never failed to do what? Go to God and open the windows of heaven. Hallelujah. He said, open his door toward Jerusalem. And God began to speak. So there is no excuse. Whatever you are doing, we can go back to God. Hallelujah. And with the energy of this conference, the resurrection, the power, the grave, the nurse, all the things we are speaking about, touching the hem of his garment, is practical. So you must start at one point. Don't start tomorrow. Start today. Amen. Say, God, I want to know you for myself. Teach me. Talk to me. Let there be an impact. Someone says, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Amen. Go to it. Hold it. And press on. Hallelujah. So, we have come to an end. Let's just pray. Can we stand? We'll be sitting for a number of hours, a number of minutes. And there are many things that have come. Amen. We are tired in the body, but we can just spare a few minutes. We are speaking about the foundation of our faith. The reason why we have believed. Please wake up the mighty men. Amen. Please wake up everybody. Those men by there. I know you are tired, but try and get up. It's time to pray. Hallelujah. It's time to make a response. It's time to just shake ourselves up. Hallelujah. Amen.